Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. It's going to be only 64 degrees at kickoff Saturday. It's going to feel like fall football weather for the resumption of Pitt Duquesne. They have not played in almost 90 years, and they will renew that rivalry on the gridiron this Saturday. We will talk to Pat Narduzzi tomorrow. Pat was on the morning show today, so we can compare and contrast our two interviews and see who did better. We're live at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook hanging out. There's big NFL news that's just dropped in the last few minutes. Adam Schefter reporting that for the first time, the Cowboys are listening on Micah Parsons. So they have given the Heisman pose stiff arm to teams on this for a while, thinking that they would get everything sorted out. Now there is at least a report that they might throw in the towel and trade him.
I still think, maybe I'm jaded because of how these situations almost always tend to play out, I still think that even this is a later stage negotiating tactic, publicly making it known that you'll listen to offers. Mm-hmm. There was the thought that the idea that they would listen to an offer from Green Bay or whatever was a threat to say, like, we'll trade you to a place nobody wants to really go play because there's nothing going on there. I still think that he ends up signing there. I still do. I still think all of this ends up being, like, a big keep the Cowboys in the headlines. Jerry Jones is still, like, a number one. Look at me. Look at us Cowboys. That's where, like, 80 to 85% of my brain is at here on this.
I think you're probably right. I'm not sure, though, it ends with him getting a new contract.
Franchise tag?
He brought that up on Irvin's podcast, and I could see him digging his heels in and doing that as a very emotional 80-plus-year-old man who knows he has the hammer and can, like, play that card if he has to. I have thought for a long time that this was just a publicity stunt.
Okay.
That they were just doing it to try to get attention on the Cowboys for an entire offseason. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I don't know. I feel like those comments, and then knowing that Parsons' agent is the same guy who did the Deshaun Watson deal, and hearing through the grapevine that he's trying to get the Deshaun Watson
equivalent for a
for
linebacker,
a defensive player, yeah,
like a fully guaranteed.
Yep,
you're just not going to get that,
because I actually happen to believe what Jones said on that podcast regarding the deal that they put in front of Parsons. He claims it was better than the Myles Garrett deal, and this was before Watt signed. So probably a deal that's very similar to what Watt ended up getting.
I mean, if by judging by age and versatility, I actually think that it would be warranted to pay him more than those guys. I mean,
yeah.
It's obvious. He's younger.
Right. So, look, I mean, I'm not someone that wants to take up for ownership, but my hypothesis is they put a fair deal in front of him, but he has an agent that just wants to reset the entire market for how defensive players get paid.
Well, if Mulligetta, his agent, tries to do that, I think it's going to be a rude awakening, because we know, like, there are documents that are out there that have been leaked that we know the owners dug their heels in and basically were advised by the NFL's management council or whatever to not give out fully guaranteed deals in the wake of the Watson situation. Like, we know this.
Yeah.
Jerry isn't going to budge on this, because of all those guys, he's probably the most obstinate about wanting to make sure that they have power over the players still, or that they don't start giving away fully guaranteed deals of any significant length of term, because it's going to set bad precedents. Because we know Jerry is still the shadow commissioner. So,
the shadow commissioner. You're right. Him and Robert Kraft pull a lot of strings
for sure. I don't think it's a guarantee that he stays a Cowboy. I think there's a slight chance that it's not just all smoke.
But who's going to trade for him? Like, the big rumor right now is Green Bay. I can't fathom, given how kind of conservative they are.
The Bills?
Well, but follow me for a second. I can't picture Green Bay giving Parsons that type of contract. They just don't strike me
as a
team.
They'd have to consult Jeff Hathorn, one of their many owners, to make sure that they were all on board with the deal.
So I think it'd have to be a team. The Falcons are a team that I think their owner gave Kirk Cousins that guaranteed deal. He's old. They don't sack the quarterback at all. They haven't for years. I could, even though they've traded their first round pick, so that would be a problem. But I could see him wanting to say, "Ah, screw it."
I mean,
let's do it.
The most aggressive GM in the entire league, who's always looking for
Philly.
Maybe room, is Howie Roseman. But Jerry would never trade him in the division.
And they've paid their offensive players so much money, where I don't even think they can afford to do that, because they're going to have to pay Jalen Carter and Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. And Seth is next to me nodding his head, knowing that all that is true.
I mean, Howie set up a lot of their current contracts to be pretty, like, they're not as, the numbers are gaudy, but they're still very friendly to the Eagles. But yeah, I just, for a variety of reasons, mainly on Dallas's end, I don't think that would ever happen. Would the Ravens do something crazy? I don't think so.
They don't have the money to do it. They're going to pay Lamar Jackson again soon.
They would also just say, like, we don't need him. We have an overall approach that's more holistic and gets it done on defense.
New England. Could you see Kraft buckling and doing something like that?
Like a massive talent influx on that side of the ball, I could.
But then turning around and paying him all that money.
But yeah,
he's got the rookie quarterback, so he can afford to do it.
But if the conceit here is that the agent wants to reset the market,
I can't see Kraft
isn't
going to
want to be the guy who goes rogue and does that.
Yep.
I still think all roads lead back to, in the end, they get this done, both sides are pretty happy, and Jerry, even though he never maybe explicitly admits it, is like, how about my Cowboys?
Yeah.
Huh? In the news again for 7 straight weeks.
Donnie, do you think Micah Parsons is already one of the 5 best Penn State players in NFL history?
Ooh. I mean,
you got guys who are on the Mount Rushmore automatically. Barkley, Franco, and Ham.
Yeah, he's definitely not better than those guys.
Larry Johnson had a couple big seasons, but flamed out pretty quickly after. Huge seasons, really. The one was just truly insane.
Yeah, I mean, like, LeVar Arrington was a good player, but
Courtney Brown
really
was
never
reached the overall bust.
Parsons.
LeVar Arrington was not as good as Micah Parsons in the NFL.
No, right. Not even close. Not close.
Mike Munchak.
Munchak's one. Put him on the list. Matt Millen? Wait.
No.
The problem is they did not produce like some. Bobby Engram had a good career. Kerry Collins.
Played in a Super Bowl.
Right. I mean, Kyle Brady was a solid tight end, but again,
not even
close.
How about Tom Bahaly?
Good player, not great. Like, I feel like he never.
They get to claim Cameron Wake.
I wasn't thinking like, you know, this guy's one of the best defensive players in the league, like I think of Parsons.
How about Navarro Bowman?
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, like, are you already putting him ahead of, like, a Bowman or a lot of those inside linebackers they've had?
That's why I just brought those names up.
Lee, Puz.
Those guys were good, like, even at times really good. Parsons is elite, though.
Franco, Hall of Famer. Barkley could, if he lasts long enough and has a couple more huge years, Barkley would find his way there.
Yep.
Parsons is definitely on an early Hall of Fame track this point in his career. Munchak, obviously. That all speaks for itself. So those four, I think, are pretty immutable.
Jake asks about Jeff Hardings.
Who had a better NFL career?
No, I don't. I can't
Jeff
say Hardings,
Hardings or Kerry Collins, for example. Don't you have to put a quarterback premium on this a little bit?
Of course.
Collins played the most important position and got to a Super Bowl.
Kerry Collins, I would say off the top of my head, is probably top 25 passing yards all time in the NFL.
I like playing this little game.
Don't you think?
Oh, here's one we're missing. Steve Wisniewski.
You think better than?
Dude, he was on those Cowboys lines, man. So, Pro Football Reference, I did search this one up, and that's how I stumbled upon Wisniewski. They do their little weighted average, you know, career value.
Yeah,
number.
I don't know what to make of that stat.
It goes
though.
Ham, 1, Harris, 2. Well, it's an accumulation stat, too, so it's not like a rate stat. I mean, it's if you play longer and are good for longer, even if a guy was great for 5 years, if you're good for 12, you'll
How
be better.
How do they rate offensive linemen?
What do you mean? Like, they just still, like, I think.
How would they do that, though? How would they put a number on it? Do you know?
The approximate value formula, I have to go back in, but, like, it would be complicated for me to try to explain it on the air right
okay.
now. I've read up. So, Ham number 1, Franco number 2, Wisniewski number 3.
Interesting.
2 first-team All-Pros, as many as Munchak, 1 less Pro Bowl. He was a starter for 2 more years. That's kind of why he's ahead of Munchak.
Huh.
Here's just some other names. Lydell Mitchell.
Yep.
Kerry Collins, Dave Robinson, who's way back in the 60s,
mm-hmm.
Tom Bahali, Cameron Wake, Navarro Bowman, Tom Rafferty, a player in the 70s. There's Jeff Hardings, Dave Zott, Matt Millen.
Mike Zordich.
No, Shane Conlin's up there, reasonably high. Kurt Warner's up there below Conlin.
The running back.
Barkley's got to do some climbing, but his on this particular metric, but his spectacular is so good.
Wait a minute. Saquon Barkley's below Kurt Warner on that list?
Because I said it's a counting stat. So, yeah. Like, Barkley, and Barkley had uninspiring times with the Giants at times.
No, that is true.
Here's one. He does not deserve to be on this fifth spot on this de facto Mount Rushmore. But the man won a Super Bowl for your beloved G-men, Jeff Hostetler. Don't call him Hostetler, even though that's how the name was pronounced.
Yeah, he was mostly a backup.
Because a girl I really liked at Penn State was roommates with his cousin, Molly.
And she was very attractive, right?
Molly was a nice-looking girl.
I think you've said something stronger than that off the air before, haven't you?
About Molly?
Yeah, no.
Okay. I'm very into the roommate. Was permanently. You want to talk about being stuck in the friend zone, pal. I might as well have been paying.
The Youth Football Showcase we've got going on. Special visits from members of the fan staff. Do you want the fan to visit your game? Email us, youthsports@937thefan.com with your group name, your group's main contact info, and potential dates. Details at 937thefan.com now. Brought to you by Steel City Shredding. Speaking of getting shredded, did you see what Jim Rome said about Kenny Pickett?
No, what did he say? Did I sound a little too excited to hear that?
Well, because you are excited to hear it.
Well, was it delivered in the inimitable Jim Rome style? Clones, let me tell you about Kenny Pickett.
Well, Rome has a nickname for everybody, so he has his nickname for Kenny. I think we have the audio. I'm not sure we have Pomp yet. If we have Pomp, we'll get to it later. If we don't have Pomp, we'll play it now. We'll do it live.
Don't say the beginning of that line.
We have Rome or we have Pomp? We have Rome. Okay.
Rome was not built in a day. Pomp was not booked in a day.
Here is Jim Rome on Kenny Pickett's new situation with the Vegas Raiders.
Kenny Pickett may have a problem with me, but I do not have a problem with him. But TH, if you're listening, you might want to turn the show off for a few minutes because I don't think this is going to go very well for you. I'm trying to figure out what's more embarrassing, being known for having tiny little child hands or getting annihilated in a competition to be the starting quarterback of the Browns when the competition involved a 40-year-old and two rookies, the perpetually quarterback-starved Browns. And the competition, again, a 40-year-old and two rookies. And not only did tiny hands fail to win that competition, he didn't even come close.
What is going on in the background?
Tiny hands. He calls them tiny hands. Yeah, TH, short for tiny hands.
I would say if Aditi hears that, there will be...
You think she's going to text Jim Rome?
Do you think she would swing into the jungle like he calls his collar den, right? Would she hit him with a thanks for the vine?
Probably not. I think she'd go in on him.
Kenny calls in, thanks for the vine. My hands are too small to grip it properly. I don't know, man. He's saying accurate things there, in my opinion. If they liked him as much as Aditi and I guess some Browns media in the run-up to him getting traded said they liked him, they would never have traded him. It's just a fact.
I don't think he has childlike hands, though.
He has slightly smaller hands than me.
Like, are there...
Alex Kozora has childlike hands. Like, we like Alex's work, but his hand span is like 6.5 inches.
Do you think the quarterbacks that Donnie will see in tomorrow night's game between Pine Richland and Central Catholic both have bigger hands than Kenny?
Not guaranteed. How much do hands grow as is it one of those deals where when you're like 16, your hands are as big as they're going to be?
I don't think so. People hit growth spurts in their late teens and early 20s sometimes. I would think that extends to hands.
Do you know what the thing is with Kenny's hands that will never not be funny? When people would do the Photoshops that were the inverse of Andre the Giant holding a can of Molson, and they would just put those tiny little plastic hands on a regulation NFL football. Such a cheap laugh, and it still always gets me, even to this day, because I can't even get through it without
but
laughing.
I don't actually think, to just give a somewhat serious comment on this, I don't think any of Kenny's NFL problems are related to his hands at all. I don't think the hands an issue.
There is one. I mean, it's one of those deals, though, where I just wonder, is it like preventing his ability to, like, really throw spin the ball one harder? Downfield. Well, like, there's one play in his entire NFL career that when I think about it, I do think, oh, my God, maybe that's because his hands are
so small.
Is it
that one where he, like, threw it propelled
backward.
Himself?
No. Although
last
that
year
one, that
the
one was a wild-looking
play. He held onto the ball, and then he went flying?
Because the guy, like, clipped him at the exact right time to do that? No. Yeah. In the DTR loss to the Browns, when he tries to throw it to Jaylen Warren, and it goes backwards, and it just came out of his hand looking like a kid trying to shot put an NFL football for the first time when they're 10 and they find a real regulation size ball. That one made me think of it. But no, I mean, I think
that was his low point as Steelers quarterback.
It was him or Matt Canada. It was well reported that one of them was either he was getting benched or Canada was getting fired and they made their decision. I think Kenny's problems largely stem from the fact that he was never going to be a top drawer athlete. I think anybody saying like, oh, wow, he's got mobility was barking up the wrong tree. I think the most disappointing part about his pro career, seriously, is that the stuff he was, at least with the Steelers, and it seems like that's carried over, the stuff he was supposed to be really good at processing, at like knowing what was being thrown at him and reacting to it correctly, never manifested, man.
I thought he was going to be extremely accurate, and I thought he was going to have the second thing down pat pretty well, too, where he saw the field, went through his reads, got the
like,
ball to the right
people.
Was
pretty poised and did the right thing, and like that second part, man, That was like the exact opposite. The bail, like the blind bailouts to his left side because he would just feel the rush when it wasn't actually there. I mean, that stuff, it was like the totally antithesis of Brady, specifically when it comes to maneuvering in the pocket, who I think is the greatest I've ever seen, where Brady will just let a guy slip past him. He would shuffle his feet even though he was slow as molasses and get a throwing lane and then let it rip with conviction. And Kenny has yet to show that tendency in the pros.
Schefter just gave out the number on McAfee's show that Jerry Jones offered Parsons. He doesn't have guaranteed in there, which is obviously a huge part of this, the guaranteed money. 5 years, $202.5 million, so $40.5 million per year. So that jives with what we were talking about. That's just over Myles Garrett, but it's also below T.J. Watt. And the reason why it's below Watt is because he offered that contract before Watt signed.
I'll make my prediction. Maybe I'll be wrong.
And it's longer than Watt's deal, obviously.
Correct.
It's for 5 years because he's a lot younger.
And that deal would get ripped up again and reset. If he has two or three really good years, they're going to rip up that deal anyway. I think it will get signed. I think Jerry will cave very slightly to just, you know, somehow it'll be a public win for the player and there'll be something on the back end for the Cowboys. If you ask me today, who is Micah Parsons playing for in week one, it is for the Dallas Cowboys on a new contract.
Yeah.
I think that's the ultimate answer here. By the way, is Rome going to make TH happen for him? Like, he's not a big enough name in the NFL.
I don't think Rome's going to talk about him enough.
He's just going to say, like, if he happens to reference him, it'll be like, hey, our boy T.H. got in there.
When we did the Who Has Bigger Hands Than Kenny Pickett game, and we actually measured hands, I know Amanda King,
in
our promotions director, had bigger hands.
Yes.
I know Andrew Lindberg, our web guy, had bigger hands. Lindberg had huge hands.
He had baby Druckenmillers.
It really made you wonder what he was packing when he put those big hands
It might have made you wonder that.
What, didn't make you think that for a split second? Like, damn, Lindberg.
Is that supposed to be like a one-to-one thing?
I mean, he had fingers that looked like foot-long hot dogs.
Like those Costco
I swear
hot
to God,
dogs.
Man. It blew
he
me
did,
away.
He did have a set of meat hooks, man.
He's not a huge guy either, which was
he's
so...
He's a normal-sized person. I bet you Lindberg could spin one more easily than Kenny. Maybe not throw it as good consistently, but he'd probably get a good grip on the seams.
I think Lindbergh's like the guy in the last scene of Boogie Nights.
What, Dirk Diggler?
Yeah.
I'm a star.
All right. Well,
did I have bigger hands than you? I had a weird thing where I think I have wide palms.
I don't remember.
Shorter fingers, but I had like 9 1/4 inch hands. I think I had a pair of Teddy Bridgewaters.
All right, that music means it is time for another rousing edition of PM Team Power Rankings Thursday at 3:30. We rank the top five something or other. And today, with college football getting underway, we are ranking the top five most interesting people in college football in 2025. I will start. My number five is Bill Belichick. I got to see what happens there. I got to see if the all-time winner, second in career NFL coaching wins to Don Shula, the only NFL head coach with 6 rings, a guy who frankly fell off the map after Tom Brady left and proved once and for all that the dynasty there was more about Brady than it was about Belichick, although Belichick should get credit for procuring Brady, playing Brady, and going with Brady and all that stuff, because he was not a top pick, obviously, is the 199th pick in the draft. What does he have left on his fastball in his 70s? His 24-year-old girlfriend looks like she wears the pants.
She just tried to trademark some sort
gold
of
digger.
Yeah, gold digger, thank you.
She seems like she puts her foot down in the relationship most of the time. This document, this like Hard Knocks in-season college football series was off, and now it's back on for them.
Which means they have final editorial cut, I'm sure, and will edit it to make sure
and
they look good.
They're in the ACC with Pitt in my alma mater, Syracuse, so that means I'll pay even more attention because their competition. And it's just still wild to me that I can't get that press conference image out of my head where the athletic director there turned his suit into a Bill Belichick-styled hoodie and cut the sleeves off of it, and everybody was smiling and grinning and guffawing and acting like this is going to be the best thing that ever happened to North Carolina football. So he comes in at number 5 for me. Did you boys have him on your list?
I didn't, but he would have been in the honorable mention category. And I'll only quickly say this, Don, in case you have any thoughts. Remember when Nick Saban actually went to the NFL? Once it kind of didn't turn out good right away, he sort of just got swallowed up into the NFL machine, and he granted, went to become the Nick Saban that really took over college football after. But, like, we've seen guys go to the NFL from college after having big success, and while there's a Pete Carroll every so often who ends up doing really well, there are a lot of guys that end up, it's just too much for them. Weirdly enough, in the inverse, it feels like Bill going to college generated all these headlines. I was one of the people that thought because of the nature of his contract, he might get out of it before he ever coached a game. Now that we're actually there, though, and they're kind of a mid-ish pack, maybe slightly upper middle class ACC team, maybe, it feels like they're getting lost in the wash a little bit for me. And so he is by extension. That's unscientific, but for all the headlines he grabbed 3 months ago, for instance,
yeah.
I don't feel like that has sustained momentum.
It hasn't.
Guys, I had him at number 2.
Wow.
He feels far and away the most interesting coach to me. I mean, and there's some interesting coaches. I mean, Rich Rod going back to West Virginia.
Oh, don't say any more. You might say some of the ones that are on our list here, Don.
Well, now what, he can't talk because he's afraid he might mention names?
I mean, no, he could just say there are a lot of interesting coaches out there.
I mean, there are, but I feel like Belichick has to be the top of the list. I mean, he's the greatest pro coach of all time. I feel like even though, okay, maybe some of the hype or talk about him has tapered off, I think it'll be right back up to where it was Monday night whenever they play in prime time.
All right, Malzie, number 4.
I have, unsurprisingly, to you guys that he made my list, I have Lenora Sellers on there because, for a couple reasons. They were the hottest team in college football on the outside looking into the college football playoff when the season ended. He was starting to pick up legitimate hype as this guy, okay, like first full year as a starter. It's the total package of athleticism. It's still the way I think most people would say they want their quarterbacks to be drawn up in a lab anymore. The guy is not like a Lamar Jackson runner, but he's absolutely a dual threat. Big arm, all the physical tools. I am not going to sit here and pretend that he is the best quarterback in college football right now.
Well, who is then?
That guy might be on my list later,
okay,
in my opinion. But I think he is the highest, I want to say, variance player at the most important position in football. I do think we could be looking back on it after this year is over. And if he has the kind of year I think he's capable of, saying this guy is going to come out in the draft, and the biggest shame for the Steelers is they won't be picking like 1-1 or 1-2 because that's how high he goes. I just think he is a very interesting player because of the potential ceiling that his talent obviously provides him.
I want to find out this year with him, and I left him off my list probably stupidly. I want to figure out this year if he's more cut from the Josh Allen cloth or if he's cut more from like the Justin Fields cloth. Is he a guy that just runs but is more of a thrower that just has that in his bag? Or is he a guy that's just a great athlete and so, the throwing part is less refined?
From what I've watched of him, and I know why you're saying this, because you're going to watch him a lot to make sure you have a feel for it. I get the sense that the player he wants to be, and Josh Allen was not a refined thrower in college.
He became
one in the pros.
Yep.
The player I do think he wants to be is more Josh Allen.
Yeah,
but I'm saying you can be like an insanely great runner and find the throwing thing later. Lamar did. Lamar started out as a truly spectacular runner. This guy's built like a tank. I do think he wants to beat you with his arm more than his legs.
Donnie, number three for you. Five most interesting people in college football this season.
I did not have Sellers on my list, but I do have a quarterback at number three, and it's not even really for the Steelers' reason. I guess there's a chance that this guy is a name thrown around there. Nico Iamaleava. After all the NIL stuff with Tennessee leaving there, he goes out to Hollywood and goes to UCLA. This guy's going to have eyes all over him, especially from, you know, Volunteers fans who may be salty about it. Josh Rountree is somebody we could converse on that subject. But I feel like he's going to have eyes on him all season for that move he pulled.
Rountree's going to be in a world of hurt around 4 o'clock on Saturday when Syracuse beats Tennessee.
Did you hear what Fran Brown said when he was asked about going into that crowd in Atlanta? He said, well, there will be a lot of orange there, and our guys are just excited to play in front of a crowd full of orange, which I love. What an unbelievable dodge. You're going to be outnumbered 4-1 in that crowd, and he's just like, well, they're all wearing orange.
He is a guy that I think is going to be a precedent center. If it works for him, more guys will do it. If it doesn't, then he's going to be held up as an example of, like, the greed and selfishness that's run rampant in college football. All right, number two. I put James Franklin there. You want to talk about a guy who has done a lot of winning but hasn't won the big one yet, and he's got the Ohio State gorilla to get off his back at some point here. They don't play Michigan this year. Mm-hmm. They play Ohio State in Columbus. And because of the playoff now, you know, you can lose that game and still make it. They lost to Ohio State at home last year, and they still made it. So he's got that hanging over him. And he's got the playoff and big game lack of success in January. I don't care. I get it. They beat SMU. They throttled SMU. I was wrong about that game. I thought SMU would win. The joke's on me there. And then they beat Boise State, who was essentially a one-man team last year.
How could you assume Kevin Jennings would play the worst game we've seen a quarterback play last year this side of Kyle McCord at Akershire Stadium?
Because I predicted he'd play a great game, and that's probably why it went down that way.
True.
They knocked Riley Leonard out of the semifinal game, and a guy came off the couch and kept Notre Dame in it. And then a series of self-inflicted wounds in big plays by Notre Dame cost them that game, which re-emphasized the point that he's not the guy you want on your sideline when it matters the most. Ryan Day shed that last year. Jim Harbaugh did the year before. So everybody thinks, oh, it's Penn State's turn as the Big Ten school that has everybody back, that has the coach that's a question mark. It's James Franklin's turn. I still don't believe it. I got to see it to believe it. That's why I put him two.
He's number two on my list for basically the exact same set of reasons. They went out and bought him more groceries. Pena coming over from Syracuse. Kid coming from Troy. Wide receiver coming from USC. They address the area of their roster that kind of contributed to Aller being what he was or Aller being what he wasn't. I mean, they have on paper, I think, the best roster in the sport. It's put up or shut up time for this guy. It really is. Like, we've said that a bunch about him. This year, more than others, really by a considerable margin, it's put up or shut
up
time.
But it's a lot like Tomlin, where if he doesn't get it done,
what are they going to do?
Yeah,
they keep paying him all this money, so they're going to keep him there. Don, where was he on your list?
I didn't have him on there.
Wow. Jeez. Okay.
All right, number one for you, Mulls.
Arch Manning. Not close.
Wow.
I mean, he's the Heisman front runner already. He's the betting favorite. And he comes from the most famous name, you could argue, in the college football world. Archie's grandson, Peyton and Eli's nephew, Cooper's son. He is different, man, because of a couple of things. He didn't play much last year, and everyone has I think, the doubters, I guess, have tried to say, well, how good can he be if he didn't beat out Quinn Ewers? That felt like one of those weird college things where Sark was, like, more comfortable not rocking the boat with some of his veteran players and almost giving Ewers kind of the, you've been here a while, you've done a lot of things, I'm going to let you see this through. Arch Manning is the following. Big arm, really good athlete, especially compared with Peyton, who looked like he was running underwater in quicksand whenever he would do like a naked boot. Mm-hmm. And he's got the best bloodlines at the most important position that we've probably ever seen. Oh, and by the way, he's doing it for a Texas team that a lot of people think is the best in the country. Like, we're all on this show, and I think writ large in Pittsburgh, going to be paying closer attention to college football quarterbacks this year because you know the Steelers are in the market for one.
Yeah.
He is playing at an absolute powerhouse school that is very much back. And I think if he has a great year, and I happen to think he will, is going to end up running away with the Heisman Trophy, and his last name is Manning. Seems like a slam dunk that he would be the number one most interesting man.
Yeah, I didn't actually put him on my list because with the idea that he's going to go back to school, he isn't.
I think that's a smokescreen. I think that's a smokescreen. I don't think they want him to go to the Saints because I think they see as a family what Archie went through there. You also had Archie say, like, his grandfather kind of telegraphed that he was going back to school, and then Arch already came out and kind of squashed that and said, basically, Gramps needs to stop talking.
So what do you think would happen if the Browns got the first pick?
I think that the Browns, the Saints, are probably the two teams that they would not want to see get that pick.
And there's a very good chance one of the – what if it's the Jets? I mean, these are the teams that are really in
contention for that right now. To New York and had two Super Bowls.
Yes, but the Giants have a much different tradition than the – Jets do. I know not recently they haven't, but they're looked at as a stable organization because of ownership. There was a story last year with the Jets that the son was making decisions on the teams,
Brick.
And the kid's name's Brick.
Here's the real story. What if the unthinkable happened and the Steelers plummeted to the bottom of the NFL? Injuries, it goes completely sideways. They'd be dying for him to come
here.
But the funny part is, would they have done enough digging to realize Mike can't develop quarterbacks?
Donnie, was he number one for you too?
Yeah, I think he's pretty clearly number one.
I had Drew Aller number one, by the way.
He did not make my list. So my, you'll laugh maybe at 5 and 3. I said I had Sellers 4, Franklin 2, Manning 1. Dabo is my number 5.
Jeez,
that team might be. I've listened to enough college football podcasts. There are enough people out there who think that team, top to bottom, actually is the most talent. Do you realize they have not had a season with fewer than 2 losses since before COVID hit?
Yeah.
He has not, and he didn't want to do the portal stuff because he's a weirdo and he didn't want to change with the times. Mm-hmm. I think he's under some legitimate pressure there. And then I had Jeremiah Smith. He's the best player in college football. He's number 3 for me. I want to see what a dude who already looked NFL ready as a freshman does as a sophomore encore.
I had Rich Rod 4 and I had Desmond Reed 3.
I guess I took more of a national view.
I want to see what Desmond Reed's all about, man. He's an All-American who does it all at Pitt. Is he going to go like 1,000-plus rushing yards? Is he going to go 2,000 yards, basically, in college football this year when you add up the rushing and receiving and be one of these players who does it all?
If he's that, then I take the over on 6.5 comfortably for Pitt because I think that would make them a pretty damn good offense.
Donnie, who did we leave off your list?
So I also had Jeremiah Smith on mine. He was number 4 for me, my top 3. I am Liava, Belichick, Manning. Number 5, the combatant to Pat McAfee with Fox Sports. I went with Dave Portnoy at number 5.
It's a pretty damn interesting pick. I will give you that. I think that's a very interesting direction you've taken.
And we know Craig loved that pick.
Oh, content.
He loves Portnoy.
Isn't he banned from the field at Ohio Stadium?
I think that was a shoot. I don't think
that is a work.
Yeah,
are
I don't
you
think
sure? I think it actually is a shoot, brother.
I don't think the plan was to have him in there anyways, though, from what I heard.
Ah.